Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Lord, we just pray tonight that what we sense you've started in this room would be fulfilled, would continue, would go deep in our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we don't just want atmospheres. We don't want just feelings. We want to encounter you. We want to respond to your word with faith. So speak to us, speak through us, and Lord, more importantly, help us live your word. We can't do it on our own, so we ask for your grace and the power of your Spirit. And everybody believed that and said, Amen. Give somebody a high five or 50 bucks before you grab a seat. There you go. It pays to bring your own FPOS machine to church, doesn't it? Just tap here. Fantastic. Thanks for being in the 4 o'clock service. It's a really rich time. I thought the team did a wonderful job tonight, and so grateful. And Mark, man, where's Mark? I'm thinking, drop the mic. He's preaching tonight. I loved it. Fantastic. If we've never met, my name's Wayne Alcorn. I pastor a church in Brisbane called Hope Centre, but for the last 16 months, I've also been the covering pastor for this church. And it's a church that's just in a season of transition. It just is now in a season where we are looking for leadership and somebody who's going to take this place into the next decade and beyond. And you can look at me, I'm 94 years old, and that's not me. So I have had the incredible privilege of leading this church, and I love it, and I love your team. My job is not specifically to pastor everybody in the church, and there's thousands of people that call Pneuma Church home. Some of them are in Bangkok and Singapore. Some are in Hobart. Some are in Adelaide. Cue response. And then we've got them in different areas of the city of Melbourne, and it's wonderful. And so we don't see the whole family. You don't even see a lot of the Sunday morning group that come because you're nocturnal. But the morning people are here. We had a wonderful, wonderful service this morning, and God was doing a great job. And my responsibility is really two or threefold. Number one, it's to lead your leaders, to help them, to inspire them, to respond and equip and just enable them to do what they do best, and that is look after God's people. And they're doing a great job. Your location pastor here, Pastor Cherie, is a winner, and she's done a great job. And so are the other leaders of the other sites, and it's terrific. But we are now in a season where we are really actively praying about who will lead this church. I'm a FIFO pastor. I fly in, I fly out. I was on the 6 a.m. plane from Brisbane this morning to be here to preach in the morning service. I just love mornings. Sort of. But you need somebody who lives locally, who's going to lead this church, be on the ground 24/7. And so we're in the season where we're really praying about that, and we're talking with people, we're seeking God. And just keep praying for us as we really get the word of the Lord and the leading of the Holy Spirit as to which way to go. I know some people weren't excited about the way some things were done a couple of years ago. That's why I'm here, all right? But it's not going to be like that this time, all right? And we're going to get it right. We're going to go. Sometimes slow is good to just get it right. And so just keep praying for us. I'm in meetings tomorrow that this will be a major conversation point. But we will just continue to move forward until we're in unity, until we've got real clarity from heaven. We're just going to keep doing the job, and then we're going to come to you, hopefully, real soon and say, hey, here's where we're at. If you're somebody who's a partner of the church, we have a members meeting. We call them AGMs, and that's happening in the middle of June, June 17, I believe, and if you're part of that, you'll be hearing more news about that, and we'll be obviously having conversations around leadership then. The other thing I need to tell you is that over the last few weeks, we've been in conversations with Pastors Kane and Alyssa, who lead our missions and our kids' ministry. And you, like what they said. And Pastor Kane and Alyssa came to us and said, we're feeling stirred. There's a sense that God is calling us to lead our own church. And so they've been on a journey. They were approached by a church in Queensland. And last Sunday, that church unanimously agreed to invite them to become the senior pastors of a church on the northern end of Brisbane, and they've agreed. And so on May 17, we're going to lay hands on them, we're going to bless them, because they've been a blessing to us. And we love this couple, and they're not being kicked out, they're being sent out. And churches like this regularly send people out. All right, this has been a church planting church. This has been a church that sends people. It's been a mission sending church. And how many know that that godless state of Queensland needs men and women of God? And so they are Queenslanders, they're returning. And I remember having a conversation with Kane about a year or more ago, and I said, mate, why are you here? And he said, I'm here to help rebuild this church. And we are in a season where we're starting to just see more and more of the life of God, new people coming in, people coming to faith. This place was packed this morning. We're in a good day, and we're going to have even better days. Can somebody agree with that and say amen? So Kane, his role in missions predominantly is for the next little while going to be led by somebody who's good. He's got so much time on his hand. That's code for he's got so much capacity. So in the short term, which sometimes in church life can be anywhere up to 15 years, we've asked Pastor Joe to take the portfolio of missions as well. And he's got a lot on. He, on our behalf, looks after all of the locations and does many, many other things. Great preacher. But he's going to lead missions. He won't do it on his own. He'll be building a team around him. You'll be hearing more from him as the weeks unfold. And we've got our missions month coming up soon. You know, last year, Kane, I don't know how many years it's been since we had an offering as good as the one we had last 5 years, the best offering in the last 5 years for missions, which was stellar, all right? And let's make it a new level this year. Let's just see the tide keep rising and rising and rising as we fulfill the command of Jesus to look to the fields because they're white to harvest, all right? So we're going to be doing that, and it's going to be a time of celebration. This couple are a beautiful pair of people. We love them. They're magnificent. But hey, they've got a call of God on their heart. They're going to pursue what they have just... They long to do that, and we bless you, and we're going to let you go. Alyssa, hey, came in and has really brought some life to our children's ministry and done a great job. And, you know, I guess if they weren't going to Queensland, she'd be in that role for a long, long time because doing a good job. But the reality is they're heading out of here in the middle of May, and I have got some news for you. Somebody that I know a lot of you love as previously on her kids' team, but then was sent across to the USA to support what we were doing in the city of San Francisco. And that person who's going to become the leader of the kids' ministry here in this site is Amy Mione. Yeah, pretty cool. So that's a whole lot of exciting things. And you know what? At the end of the day, Pneuma is not my church, your church. This is the church of Jesus. He said he would build his church. And sometimes we can get a little too caught up in personalities. And I know God raises up leaders. He raises up men and women for specific things when he's doing a new fresh work. But at the end of the day, we've got to keep our eyes off leaders and onto Jesus. And you watch what he do. He is doing a good thing. He's doing a new thing in Pneuma. All right? Maybe a few years down the track, you go, oh. You know, I've led a church through two seasons of what I now look at as revival. We didn't call it that in the middle of it, but we were just watching the front of the meetings just be two and three and four deep of people coming to faith. And you go, oh, that was actually a revival. All right. Just don't even worry about getting hung up on what we call this moment. Just love Jesus. Just go with the flow of the Holy Ghost. Get your eyes off people because people are, you know what? You know when Adam fell, like Humpty, he didn't bounce, right? We're all a fallen race, and we're all just a little bit brain damaged, and we've all got a few foibles, and we've all got a few little issues, right? Haven't we? All right, just don't look sideways right now. Look straight forward. But here's somebody who'll never let you down, somebody who is without sin, without blemish, and his name is Jesus. And ultimately, even Newman, with our brand so bold, still there's a name above that, and it's the name of Jesus. And so the church is going to progress, and let me tell you, I've got a motto. Here it is. You get out of church what you put into it. Don't be a spectator in every way. We're actually dealing with a very sensitive subject. The number one subject that Jesus dealt with in all of the Gospels. Oh, we're dealing with love. No, we're not. We're dealing with grace. No, we're not. At the end of the day, we're dealing with our response. Take a deep breath. To money. Did you know one in every six verses in the New Testament deal with money? And particularly our attitude towards it. Tonight, I'm not going to so much talk about money, but right across the planet right now, there is massive fear. There's fear in the stock markets right down to the kitchen table. People are worried about what's going to happen. The oil price. I got a son who drives an EV. Man, he's smug at the moment. So you drive a diesel. You know, the arrogance behind that. Yeah, you know, whatever, $420 a litre. It's been a lot of fun. Interest rates are rising. I get it. You can't turn on a news, real news feed, anything without the words cost of living coming up. And it's really easy to be afraid. And when somebody like Mark stands up and challenges in the area of giving, it's really easy to pull down the shutters. I'm not giving in this time. Can I tell you? Listen to me loud and clear. Like Solomon, who said, I was once young and I'm now old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Here's one thing I know. The best time to sow is in times of famine and tough. And let me tell you, right through Scripture, people that trusted God in the tough times were ridiculously blessed. I've led churches through all these kinds of moments, the GFC, the recession we had to have, COVID, you name it, this season. And I found that the people who trust God in moments like this, like Isaac, who sowed in famine, and in that year he reaped 100-fold. Don't shut me down now and say, oh, I'm a uni student. I only earn a couple of $100s. If you can't be trusted with tithing on a couple of hundred, you won't be trusted by God to tithe with a couple of 100,000. It's not about the size of your bank balance. It's about the state of your heart. All right? And more importantly, it's about whether or not we really do trust God. So we're doing a series called what? Fearless in Faith. And tonight I want to address that subject. I want to talk about less fear. Fearless. I don't know about you, but I had an incredible Easter. Something happened in my heart as I was reminded afresh of the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. That just overwhelmed. In our ministry back home, we baptized so many people, and we had equally as many people come to Jesus over that weekend as people encountered with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He can actually live in me. It's quite a powerful and profound thing to know that same Spirit that raised Jesus is right here in this room, working in our hearts right now. Yeah. And when I opened my heart to the reality of that and the power of the empty tomb, I come to a place of realizing afresh that when God said he would do that, let me tell you something, I am reminded again that nothing's too difficult for him. If God can raise his son from the dead, he asks, is anything too hard for me? And in a world where we are just bombarded with things that are meant to rob our peace and rob our joy and cause us to be somewhat paralyzed by fear, I believe God is bringing his word to us, and he's reminding us that if he promised to do that, he'll fulfill the things he's promised to us. A verse I read this morning, I feel to just unpack it just for a moment again tonight. It's a verse that had literally was part of the framework of me leaving what I was doing many, many years ago as a young person, and spent the last 45 years as a pastor and as a preacher. And it was this verse in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It said, the one who calls you is faithful. Would you say faithful? The one who calls you is faithful and he'll do it. The Message version replaces the word faithful with, I love this, completely dependable. Your God, the God you're worshiping, is completely dependable. If he's made you a promise, I know some of us have been let down by people, but I can tell you something. Even when people are faithless, he is faithful. He is completely dependable, and my confidence in him, my trust in him comes from the fact that he never fails. He keeps his word. And right now, across the planet, there is this sense of just this rising tide of fear that's gripping the human race. We wake up each morning, we check the news. What's happening in Iran today? We all now know where the Strait of Hormuz is. It's easy to focus on that. Can I tell you something? What you focus on will affect the state of your soul. That's why we're called to look to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. You might be old enough to remember a little cartoon character called Chicken Little. Chicken Little, man, don't let the spirit of Chicken Little get you. He ran around telling everybody the sky is falling. I'm here today to tell you the sky is not falling. I'm here today to tell you that Jesus is still on the throne. I'm here today to tell you the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive and at work in this room, in our hearts, right here, right now. And that spirit of God wants to come and minister to us and take the fear. I believe this is the greatest thing, and I'm here today to speak into this. The fear that is so paralyzing wants to set us free of that and help us to live a life of love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. So I want to go there today. Fear and faith, they are so similar. Because faith says, what I can't see will probably happen. Hebrews 11:1, read it. Fear is the same thing, but it comes from a different place. Fear says, what I can't see will probably happen. And tonight I want to talk to you about the posture that people took when the spirit of the age was one of fear, when the vast majority were gripped by fear. Some people stepped up and came at it with a different spirit. Let me tell you the first guy. His name is Caleb. The Old Testament reports that moment when God's people were sent out to inherit the promised land. If you remember it, there's 12 spies. And one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. They're all sent out. Now, the fact that they were chosen to represent their tribe means they were people of some caliber, right? These were people that were probably leaders, influential. They go out and they have a look at the promised land. This is a land that God's people have been longing for a long, long time. And they go out and they all, listen to this, they all see the same thing. It's like tomorrow's news. We'll all see the same thing. But how do we respond? That's the issue. And these 12 spies, they go out. Only two of them, however, gave a good report. Only two of them. Their names were Joshua and Caleb. And the Bible particularly focuses in that moment on Caleb. Listen to what God says of him in Numbers 14, verse 21. God says, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, listen to this. This is how disappointed God is in people that should have influenced God's people into the fullness of the promise of what he had for them. Let me tell you, we're in a season right now in the life of our church where we can look at the next season. We can look at the next leadership. We can look at it through the eyes of fear. We can look at it through the eyes of faith. And we want to be people who actually caused people's hearts to rise in hope. 10 of them came in, they saw what Joshua and Caleb saw, but they looked at it through the lens of fear. Look at what God says of those 10. Not one of these, I've underlined those words in most Bibles that I have, that I've read this text, not one of these who saw my glory. Like seriously, they saw the glory of God. And he said, not one of these who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but listen to this, but disobeyed me. and tested me these 10 times. Again, he says, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt, will ever see it. We need to be careful that we don't treat God's word and God's promises with contempt. Wow. God still heals today. Yeah, heard it all before. Trust God with your finance. Oh, yeah. Here we go, another offering tool. Don't treat God's word and God's promises with contempt. But because my servant Caleb, you know what the word Caleb, you know what the name Caleb means? Dog. You imagine, my name, everybody's name means something, especially in the Bible, the old days. My name means wagon maker. That changed my life. Caleb, old dog. But because my servant Caleb, here's what it says. This is what God says of Caleb. Because Caleb has a different spirit. There it is. He has a different spirit and he follows me wholeheartedly. I will bring him into the land he went to. And, this is so important. Some of you in this room are already married. Many of you will one day. Most of you who get married will have children. Let me tell you something. What I am talking to you about today won't only affect you, but it'll affect the generations that follow you. Caleb, I'm going to read it again. Caleb has a different spirit. Can we be people that tomorrow morning when we walk into a university lecture room, when we walk into a classroom, tomorrow morning when we go get up and we walk in with our flatmates or with our family, can we be people when everyone's going, whoa, is me? Can we just walk into our day with a different spirit? Come on, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Can we be people that come in and we change atmospheres? The 10 people that got up, they stepped up first and said, oh yeah, it's amazing. It's everything God said, milk and honey and this and that. You should see the place. It's incredible. But we saw giants and we look like grasshoppers. We look like grasshoppers. But Caleb had a different spirit. He had a different spirit. While others could only see obstacles, all he could see was opportunities. He's ready to go. He's ready to take the promises while the others were frozen with fear. And the generational implications. As a father and now as a grandfather, I take this stuff so seriously. My example, my posture of faith. Because not only are people watching, there are spiritual implications that I can't even define how it happens, but God responds to my positions and my responses to his word. As I read blessing that God wants to give us, I read that blessing is not just for me. He wants me to be blessed so I can be a blessing. Why can't Numa take $1 million in an offering for missions this year? I tell you why, because some of us don't really believe his word. We don't believe the principles of the laws of harvest. We're not moved by what moves the heart of God. We're all about I, me, and my. Let me tell you, when you are followers of Jesus, you can't live in a small world that's all about I, me, and my. We don't pray little prayers of, oh God, just bless me so that somehow I'll get through this week. No. God, use me. God, bless me so I can be a blessing to others. The prayer of Jabez, God, bless me so I can bless them. God, use me so I can be an answer to prayers they're praying. That doesn't happen when you pray small prayers. That doesn't happen when you live gripped by fear. The Bible tells me that good people leave an inheritance for their children's children. Lynn and I are already planning how our grandkids can be radically blessed. And I know some of you have already gone through school and you're going through university and you hear stuff in the news that you'll never own your own home. Who says that? Who says? Oh, well, I heard it from some economist. Is the economist bigger, greater, and smarter than our God? No. I'm leading people. We've got five campuses to the five cities in Greater Brisbane in Hope Centre. And there's one particular campus that the whole city's got this spirit of poverty over it. There's third and fourth generation welfare recipients. And some of them were told, you'll never, ever, ever, ever own a home. No one in our family's ever owned property. They're starting to put these principles to test and they're all of a sudden owning their own home. And they're beginning to live debt-free. This is what God wants for his people. But you can't move into that when you're gripped by fear. Caleb has a different spirit. This generation, all of them, all 12 tribes, enjoyed God's blessing and provision in the wilderness, his mercy. Day after day, the Bible says, they were fed manna. Day after day, they'd get up, walk around, put on their shoes that never wore out. But God wants to take us from just welfare and dependence, flip the script and be a blessing. Not just receiving, but getting so that we can give. And as we give, our world gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's how God wants us to live. Hebrews tells us why these people missed out. Quite simply, we would say fear, but God calls it something else. Look at Hebrews 3:19. It says, we see that they, being those that generation, were not able to enter into the promise. Here's why. Because of their unbelief. Whoa. Do you want to counter fear? Believe God's word. Full stop. Drop the mic. That's it. Let's read it, believe it, and let's live it. See, here's what I realized about those people walking through the wilderness, clouds, pillars of fire and all that stuff. They were followers, but they weren't believers. They followed his presence. They followed his power. There's a lot of people that go to church as followers. And they'll probably make it to heaven, but they won't experience heaven on earth because they're just followers of a God that does handouts. He says, I want you to be more than a follower. I want you to be a believer. I want you to realize that you're meant to be the head and not the tail. Come on, somebody believe this. You're meant to be the head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. You're more than conquerors. We've got to start living like this. We've got to move beyond this woke mentality that, it's woe is me and this and that. Come on, come on. Let's start trusting God. Let's start living like we believe this. Let's start giving like we believe this. I'm telling you. This principle has changed my life. King David, he was a young man. Like many of you, younger than most of us in this room, became a king. And here's why I reckon he became a king. He had a different view of God and his promises. It's a great story. You can read it. We won't unpack the whole lot in 1 Samuel. But here's somebody else. He's sent down. It's interesting. I just love the way it works in the Old Testament. He's sent down by he's got a dad called Jesse. And Jesse, the dad, sends David, the young boy that's not really included in much of the family deal. He's the kid that just looked after the sheep out in the bush. His dad, let's use Aussie language, his dad sends David down to his big brothers with an esky full of cheese sandwiches. True. It says he had some bread and some cheese and he sent them down to his brother. As David rocks up to the battlefield, there's supposed to be a war going on and he can hear something that's rattling. But what is that? It was the Israelites' knees banging together. And he says, what here? Hey, what here is the problem? And they said, him. And he said, so? They said, have a look at him. He's too big. They were looking at him through fear. He said, no, you have another look. He's too big to miss. Looked at it through faith. Look what happens. Different confession. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34. Now David said to Saul, Saul's the king, he said, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. Can I just thank every life group leader in this place right now? You are looking after the father's sheep. Thank God for you. Can I speak to young people? You know, one of the greatest challenges. One of the greatest threats to people's emotional and mental health right now is loneliness. I'm so glad you're here tonight, but church services alone won't fix loneliness. You need people. This is a crowd, and crowds are good, but crowds don't fix loneliness. People do. People that know you, people that love you. The early church knew this, so they got together in moments like this. In those days, they said they met in the temple courts, and they also met in houses. They met in small groups. We're starting a brand new term tomorrow. This is the best time to say, you know what? I'm actually going to step out and I'm going to shake off a little bit of fear and shyness, and I'm actually going to go to somebody and say, how can I get into a small group where I can grow, where people know me, love me, and care for me? I'm going to tell you, the people in Pneuma, the leaders of the life groups, they are caring, shepherd-hearted people, and they'll look after you. So God bless you, and come on, let's get into that. He'd been keeping his father's sheep. And this is what he says. This is David talking to the king. A teenager talking to a king, he said, when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, he didn't go, oh, well, you know, it's all right. No, no, this is what he did. I love this guy. I went after it, I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. It gets better. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, I struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. Gets rather personal now. He says, this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me, look at this. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, here's another word I've underlined, will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. Saul said to David, go. And the Lord be with you. Here's what David realized. The lion, the bear, and the giant all had the same capacity to intimidate. He said, same enemy, fear, just a different face. And he said, you know what? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in that lion, than he that's in the bear, and he that's in that giant. And I personally believe tonight that victory awaits every believer, not just a follower, the believer who receives the revelation. I love this because in 1 John 4, we won't go to verse 3, but verse 3 is dealing with the spirit of the age. In verse 4, he then says, I want you to know something. You, dear children, are from God. How many can say amen to that? You are from God and you've overcome them because the one who is in you, hear me, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. It's time we started living with a new level of confidence that greater is he that's in me, greater is the one who said he'd be with me than he that's in any problem, that he that's in any news headline, that he that's in any form of opposition my way. Come on, we've been made more than conquerors through Christ. Who's the one that lives in us? Well, it's the one that Paul wrote of in Romans 8, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. I want you to get the message from this morning. Because we spoke specifically on a derivative of this. It's trusting God with our finances. Get the podcast, it'll be up soon. But I tonight want to broaden this and tell you that in my heart, as we begin to talk to the team and talk to Pastor Cherie and Pastor Joe and the others about sharing tonight, I just knew that God wanted us to address this whole area of breaking free of a spirit of fear. Yeah. Yeah. And listen to me, this is very personal for me. It's very personal. As a young boy, I was in hospital several times. They'd take all the tests and they'd poke and prod and I'd be in for 3 or 4 days at a time because they couldn't work out why I would literally cramp and buckle over in agony, 7, 8, 9 years of age. They finally came to the conclusion that there's nothing really wrong with this boy. He's just got a belly full of nerves and he suffers from what they call abdominal migraines. Fear, afraid. Probably some kids were maybe more resilient than me because my dad was a pastor and we had to move and, you know, I was the new kid in at the school with the different uniform and all those awkward things. Growing up, I, like most kids, had a fear of the dark. Didn't help when your father pretended he was Santa Claus under your window. I grew up in the bush. You know, the outside toilet, that was fun. I think most kids suffered from that, but there was something for me that was far more profound. And I didn't realize it for a long time, but it had a lingering effect on me, and it was a fear of abandonment. See, my dad was a pastor, and he had to work really, really hard, and it wasn't easy in those days, and just the way they had to do it in those old days, in the 60s especially. And he had two emotional burnouts before I was 9 years of age. And the first one, I was about six, and the second one, I was seven or eight. And I remember, because I was already at school, the doctor sent my dad away with my mum and with my sister. They went away to get better and have a break and get the help they needed. And they left me with really good people, really good friends. They didn't do anything wrong. But they left me on a farm, and they went away for several weeks, twice. And I still remember that car driving down the dusty road in the driveway and just feeling so abandoned. No one meant that, but something got in. And I didn't realize how it had actually affected me in different ways. And I thank God there came a moment in my life, came around that time that I got filled with the Holy Spirit, that God literally set me free from that thing. And what a wonderful thing it is to live free of fear. But for some of you, it's not a fear of the dark or a fear of abandonment. They're real. And if you're struggling with some of these things, you know, somebody said, don't be silly. You're not being silly. You're in the grip of something. But whatever it is, it's not greater than our God. It's just not greater than our God. And I believe tonight God wants to set some of us free from a spirit of fear. I love what Paul wrote to Timothy. It's such a powerful little letter, 2 Timothy. He wrote in chapter 1, he said, for God has not, this is another word I've underlined, God has not given us the spirit of fear. But what has he given us? Spirit of power and love, sound mind. So I think we can confidently agree that fear is not from God, yes? So what do we replace it with? Love. You know what the Bible says? It says that there's no fear in love. Power, dunamis, the dynamic power, the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. And I repeat the question, if God can raise Jesus from the dead, is anything too hard for him? That same power is what's available to us. And a sound mind, that's the big one. The mind's the devil's playground. The mind, it's the devil's playground. And it's an area where so many people need to get set free. Dare I say it? I believe some people need to get deliverance from the stuff that dominates their mind. Again, Paul writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, he said, we demolish, I love this. It's like a bulldozer going through. We demolish arguments. What's an argument? You know what an argument is? I got a better question. Who's married? It's two conflicting views. And as followers of Jesus, it's the truth of the kingdom or the lies of the kingdom of darkness. And Paul says, we demolish this tension, these arguments, and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And what do? We take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. Let me tell you something. The most vulnerable space in your Christian walk is the space between your ears. It's where that's where strongholds build. It's where the enemy steals joy and peace. He kills dreams. He undermines relationships. He's a thief and he's a murderer. And I believe tonight that God wants to come in, and as the musicians join me in on stage here, please. I believe that he wants to come to us and minister to us life and break the power of some of those things that have been just so eating at us, the constant fears. Even as I start sharing my own personal story of some fears that gripped my life, some of you go, I want to get free of that. Some of you are free of, need to get free of the fear of debt. And some of us need to get free of the fear of you know, some of you being told a lie. Here's the lie. Our family line always gets this disease. Oh, yeah, Uncle Johnny got cancer. You'll get cancer. So-and-so suffered in that area. It's hereditary. You get it. Says who? Says who? Yeah, I get family lines, but I also get the line of the tribe of Judah, and I believe he can set us free of some of this. Some of us just live free, need to get free of the fear of rejection of people. I start sharing about getting into vulnerable relationships in a life group. You're afraid to do that because you're scared you'll be rejected. And tonight, God wants to set us free of all that stuff. We get called to start to live by faith. I believe God wants to help us live with a different spirit. Here's the promise we have. Again, Paul writing to the Corinthian church, he said, now the Lord is the Spirit. How many sense the power of the Holy Spirit here tonight? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He said when we praise him, his presence comes and ministers to us. So we're going to do that right now. Close your Bibles, close your books, put down your devices for a minute. Stand to your feet if you would. Fearless. Come on, team, join me here. We're going to worship the Lord for a couple of minutes. The service isn't over. There's no need to rush off. It's not late. Been praying into our day together. God was speaking to us this morning about trusting him. For some of us, that even that risky step of trust, we don't feel we're able to do it because we're so bound by fear. God wants to set us free of that. People that know me from a public persona must think I'm just this raging extrovert that has always found it easy. If you'd known me when I was 10, 11 years old, I was the shyest kid in town. The radical change in my life came through the power of the Holy Spirit. I lived behind masks and facades and needed chemicals and all kinds of stuff to be brave. And then the Holy Ghost came. And where his Spirit is, there's freedom. And I want that for you tonight. We can't talk about relationships. We can't talk about finances. We can't talk about future while ever we're bound by fear. We need to break those chains. Move on to a future that's bright, filled with the goodness of God. So come on, let's worship him. Let's just give him praise with this song. Come on.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.